All right, so good morning, everyone. Welcome to our fifth global review of Aid for Trade. I am very, very pleased to be joined this morning by some very important personalities, key people in this exercise. So we have with us Dr. Jim Kim, President of the World Bank Group, Angel Gurria, the OECD Secretary General, Takehiko Nakao, President of the Asian Development Bank, and Joachim Heiter, UNCTAD's Deputy Secretary General. And I'm, by the way, very grateful to Joachim for stepping in on behalf of Secretary General Kituyi, who has sadly suffered a very dramatic bereavement. Our thoughts are with him today. Along with our speakers this morning, I'm also delighted to be joined by all of you, of course. We have a huge range of people taking part in the Global Review this year, including over 20 ministers from around the world, also from the Pacific, which is the region that faces the highest natural trade costs due to its remoteness. A similar number of leaders from international organizations are here. We have representatives from the private sector and more than 1,000 trade and development professionals. So welcome once again to you all. Our theme this year is reducing trade costs to support inclusive, sustainable development. High costs, as you well know, suffocate trade. They limit the gains from trade. And worse, the burden of high trade costs falls heaviest on the poorest countries, the smallest firms, and the lowest income consumers. In Africa, high trade costs in the region mean that only 5% of imported food staples are bought from other African countries. If it's taking 40, 50, 60 or more days to export your produce, then you're not getting most out of the trading system. And the phrase, time is money, has never seemed more appropriate than in this situation. If it takes that long to move your goods, then you will drive up your costs and you will simply be priced out of the market. As a result, you will be stuck at the first link of the value chain and operate mostly with non-time-sensitive commodities. In 34 of 49 LDCs, just three products, just three, account for 70% or more of the merchandise exports. So unbalanced economies struggle to deliver balanced developed economies outcomes. So without diversification, inclusive, sustainable growth, it is all but impossible. High trade costs disconnect the economy from international flows of goods and services, and they therefore stifle creativity, the motor behind productivity that drives economic growth. Consumers also get a raw deal. Price of imports are higher and their choice is limited. And that is a big problem if you earn less than $1.25 per day. And around 1 billion people around the world still live in this condition. Now, this is why reducing trade costs, particularly for the poorest, is so important. So this is a very important year for trade and development. If you'll forgive me using a few more numbers, this is the fifth global review. We are preparing the WTO's 10th ministerial conference in Nairobi, making it the first ministerial conference to happen in Africa. And we are marking the WTO's 20th anniversary. And over those 20 years, the WTO has contributed a great deal to development around the world and the integration of developing countries into the global trading system. And since the early 90s, 1 billion people have been lifted out of extreme poverty. Around two-thirds of that poverty reduction has come from economic growth in developing countries, and trade has been a major driver of that growth. So this year, as the world comes together to define the post-2015 development agenda and agree on the new sustainable development goals, I think that we have to make sure that trade plays its full role. And with this in mind, I think we need to do much more. Many people remain disconnected from the trading system or do not feel the full benefits. We must find ways to cut trade costs, lower trade barriers, reduce distortive subsidies, and increase people's capacity to trade so that the poorest can access more of the benefits that trade can provide. Fortunately, we have many tools at our disposal to deliver all of this. So first, as we will hear today, we can achieve a great deal through the Aid for Trade initiative itself. Aid for Trade makes a big difference on the ground, which is what we're all about. In more than 15 African countries, disbursements through this initiative are worth more than 2% of their GDP. It is vital, therefore, that we maximize the results of the Aid for Trade that can deliver. I'm pleased to say that the evidence harvested in the Global Review shows that this is happening. Aid for Trade is helping to link people into the trading system, and therefore, it is improving their lives. Second, we can take a leap forward in cutting trade costs by implementing the WTO's Trade Facilitation Agreement, which was, of course, as you know, finalized in December 2013 in Bali. And the Aid for Trade at a Glance report, which you see before you, highlights many examples where border modernization efforts are yielding success. And if you look at the report, I was just making that joke a moment ago, it is a pretty good glance, huh? Really thick. So look at it, take your time. It's a very good report, very detailed, very precise. And in there, you see that countries like Cambodia, Guatemala, Kenya, Lesotho, Peru, Tajikistan, and Togo are just some of the WTO members that are reporting faster clearance times, higher customs revenues, and savings for traders from border modernization efforts. And these examples give a sense of the impact that the WTO Trade Facilitation Agreement can have. We are talking about a potential annual boost to the global economy of $1 trillion and 18 million new jobs in the developing world. And there is a lot of support available to help countries implement the agreement. The WTO's Trade Facilitation Agreement facility will be an important channel to deliver the support, as well as the programs of our many partners who are here today, including the international organizations, regional development banks, the World Bank, OECD, everybody, and the donors who are also here. So delivering also on the other decisions that were taken in Bali will be very critical as well, particularly those that have as their objective the benefits for LDCs. Moving on, the third and potentially the most important step we can take here would be to negotiate new development outcomes at our ministerial conference in Nairobi in December. So this is a major focus of our work this year. We're doing all we can to help members deliver. Negotiations are intense. We're still talking. It's tough, as everything that we do in the WTO, very hard, but it's not hopeless. So I think we're moving. I think we're in the right direction. There will be many opportunities to discuss each of these issues and more over the next 3 days. In fact, there will be many sessions and debates to get involved in, as well as a wealth of new reports and data that you will have before you to consider. So let me pick out just some of the key points as I see them. So first, trade costs remain too high, and they still act as a powerful brake on the development of the poorest. They penalize small business and the poorest consumers. Second, to travel along the path of inclusive, sustainable development, we must do more to cut trade costs. Third, for developing countries and their financing partners, this means prioritizing trade issues and mobilizing resources in order to build capacity. And fourth, here at the WTO, the message is even simpler. Implement the Bali package, including the Trade Facilitation Agreement, and deliver for development in Nairobi. So let's make 2015 the year of trade and development. I wish you all a very good 3 days and productive ones. So thank you, and good work for everyone.